One aspect I'd like to bring in, I think, is I quite agree that the emphasis on diversity and the principle of the acceptance of diversity is terribly important. But one might go a bit further and say, actually, Europe is so diverse, it's actually very difficult to get unity. It has been very difficult. And one way the Europeans and Europe has done this is to identify an other that Europeans are not. Historically, that was the Saracens, say, or the Turks, the Muslims in a general sense. And during the years of the Cold War, it was Russia. Even now, for many people, Europe is distinct from America. And essentially, the Europeans often need an out-group, another whom they identify themselves in opposition to. And the British are rather good at this. I mean, the British and the English are clearly not French, they're not German, and they're not Turkish, as you ask. A few of the more over-enthusiastic football supporters will sort of go along with that. So, I mean, this is one way of getting European unity. Otherwise, this diversity might be formally accepted, but instinctively and in terms of personal or national identity, is actually difficult to come to grips with. I mean, there's always this sort of more passionate emotions, you know, raging in people's breasts. And it's difficult to sort of summon up that kind of identity in terms of rather abstract principles, I think. How do you cope with the other? In particular, someone like, you know, Russia and Turkey, who were the historic European others. You know, how do we get over this problem? Robert?
In part through recognition that these others have actually contributed in massive ways to European civilization, in terms of the Renaissance, for example, the Moorish kingdoms in Spain and other parts of the Mediterranean region were crucial in the rediscovery of Aristotle and Greek science, the transmission of mathematics, or in fact the development of mathematics and astronomy and so on, and played a crucial role in the Renaissance. To those who wish to emphasise Russia's otherness, I would emphasise against that. It's hard to think of European culture without thinking of Tolstoy and Dostoevsky and Tchaikovsky and Mussorgsky and Shostakovich, and Russian ballet is the sort of greatest ballet, I think, by anyone's judgment in Europe. So that Russia has made huge contributions to European culture, and Turkey has contributed an awful lot too, not least gastronomically. So that even these others, which Europeans at times have defined themselves against, are in many ways more part of us than them, but in ways that Europeans much of the time don't wish to recognise.
I think you've raised two very interesting separate issues when you discuss otherness. One is about countries or societies which are only ambiguously part of Europe. We have no problem, for example, identifying Belgium as part of Europe, but we have problems identifying Russia. Some have problems identifying Romania. Others have problems identifying Turkey. I think the way to cope with this is to actually not attempt to define an eastern border and to recognise that contemporary Europe has been created out of an enormous flow of different peoples throughout its history. If we go back 2,000 years, one can see, for example, that the Slavs and the Magyars, who populate most of Eastern Europe, came from Asia. We can see much more recent migration and conversion. We had Islam in southern Spain several hundred years ago. We had an Ottoman presence in southeastern Europe until the very beginning of this century. And we also, in the post-war period, have a lot of inward migration into Western European states like Belgium, like the Netherlands, like France and Great Britain, former colonial powers. And therefore, I think we ought not to exclude those elements of Europeanness, that Europe has existed in a dialogue with the broader world.